Oh, Miss Sabine Singh, you've been fire as Greenlee. I remember when you first started in April 2007. Your face is beaming. They told you you're new Greenlee, and now you'll have steady income for years. You say that it's a dream. Finally, you will be seen on daytime television every day of the week. ABC has no heart. They fired you. That Brian Franz is an SOB. ABC has no heart. They're vampires. But I still love Rebecca B. I'm sorry, Mr. B. Singh. I want Rebecca Buddy to come back. But you nice, too. I'm sorry they treated you so badly. Maybe you'll find another job. I'm one life to live.
This week on All My Children,
Rebecca Budding is coming back to All My Children as Greenlee.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. My name is Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm Peter.
Pedro. And welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending December 14th, 2007. It's a big week, people. We had a lot of controversy. Right, Pedro?
That is right, Ashley.
Pedro's looking at me like I'm cross-eyed. It's early in the morning. He's drinking his coffee. He hasn't woken up yet.
Ashley knocked on my door this morning and said there was an emergency. And I thought there was something wrong with the building.
He is my super.
I thought a pipe has burst. I thought there was a burglar in the building.
It did snow this weekend in New York City, you know.
Yes. Maybe that was the emergency. No. Emergency.
Listen, this is very big news, Pedro. Do not minimize the importance of this news.
That's very exciting. Very exciting.
Listen, people, we had a very big week. Very active buzz on the blogs everywhere. Every single blog I read was a buzz with the news of Rebecca Budding's return as Greenlee. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. The second I heard, I was jumping out of my chair screaming.
I know. I thought there was an emergency.
I was like, oh my God. No way. Is it true? Like at that point, it was speculation. Like I read on our blog, actually, there was a post on our blog that said that she was coming back. So I wasn't sure. I was like, is it true? Is it true? And then I went to my resource of all resources, Super Poster of the Year, who's on MySpace. You all know Super Poster very well. But in case you don't, he is a bundle, a treasure trove of all my children information. www.myspace.com/Super Poster of the Year. And he had a few links to stories and blog postings and stuff like that. So I got a little more of the scoop from his MySpace page. And basically, the story is that Rebecca Budding went to lunch with Brian Franz. And I guess Mr. Brian Franz is a very persuasive man because somehow Mr. Brian Franz twisted her arm and said, you going to come back, which I don't know if I believe that. Do you believe that, Pedro?
Well, I believe he may have said, do you want to come back? And Rebecca may have said to herself, what am I doing? Yes.
Let's see. I've got a guest appearance on Dancing with the Stars. I've got a canceled pilot.
Rebecca, would you like to come back to All My Children?
Yes.
I think it went like that.
Anyhow, people. Okay, so here's the other story, though. There's a flip side to all this enjoyment, okay? To all this merriment and good news and good feelings. There's a little 95-pound girl named Sabine Singh. 95-pound vegan. Very nice, very funny, very pretty. Maybe not so appropriate addition to the cast as Greenlee. But certainly had a lot of fans in her own right. Would you agree, Pedro?
I would agree.
So, look, it's a little bittersweet because toward the end of the week, I was feeling mixed emotions because the poor girl has been sacked, fired, pink slipped, kaput. It's hard. It ain't right, you know? Like, it's, look, I'm not saying it's not right, because Pedro and I, we have a couple actor friends in the building, and like, it's a nasty, nasty career. It's nasty, right, Pedro?
It is nasty.
It is nasty.
As Ashley would say, it is nasty.
I don't say nasty. I say nasty.
Yes.
It is nasty. Mm-hmm. It's very nasty business. And look, Sabine Singh knows that she in a dog-eat-dog business. But it still make you still feel for the girl, because basically she was apparently very quietly pulled into the office and told that she was being released and that her, you know, her contract, I guess, I don't really know, Pedro, how those contract works, but I think it's like cycles or something like that. Like, they have 3 or 4 years and then they have cycles. Is that right?
That's what I understand.
So then they don't have to like pay her for 4 years, right? They get the option at the end of each like 13 weeks or something like that, right?
Yes.
Something like that. So that basically means, potentially, from what I read, that Sabine Singh is basically done. They don't have to pay her no more. And she ain't got a job. And a lot of people that I read really like Sabine. I cannot say I'm one of them people. I never thought she was right as Greenlee. Never, never, never. That don't mean I want to see the girl, you know, being treated on like a dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was treated on like a dog. Why you look at me like that?
I mean, I don't know. Treated on like a dog.
Listen,
is a hard
she
statement.
Was. There was an article released called "The Real Greenlee's Coming Back." That is harsh. You ain't gonna tell me that's harsh.
That is pretty harsh.
I mean, come on, like, all right, fine. Rebecca Budig originated the role and all that stuff, but that's kind of wrong. Like, I'm gonna give it to the girl. This is what I'm about, people. I'm about hard work. All right? I'm a hardworking person. My parents are hardworking. You know, my father was a mailman. My mother was a bank teller. They worked their butts off. You know what I'm saying? I'm about hard work and honesty. I'm going to tell you one thing. Sabine Singh worked her heart out.
But don't you think she'll show up on another soap opera?
She has to. She's talented. You know what I mean? She's very talented.
People liked her, and other soap operas will recognize that
she was cast wrong, and she had to pay the price for dumbass casting again by Miss Judy Bly Wilson. I'm sorry. I think she is horrible. Horrible.
Horrible.
Horrible. So, listen, people. It got me, you know, it bums me out, because this should be a very joyous time. Not only did we get news that Rebecca Budig's coming back, we also got news that Angie and Jesse are coming back.
I need Jordan Hudson to give me backstory.
Listen, I know. Pedro didn't watch back then, so I don't want to talk about all this stuff too much, because we are going to have Jordan Hudson next week, and he's going to give us a brilliant summation and opinion.
Do you think he'll have some type of charts or a graph?
He may.
A presentation?
He may roll out a presentation.
Good.
That would be very helpful to the fans.
Yes.
Because, I mean, he knows. He's got, like, family trees and all that stuff.
Yes.
Graphs of, like, how many murders each character has committed. Mm-hmm. Jonathan would be way up there.
Yeah.
Way up there. Mm-hmm. He's got, like, 3 or something like that. Mm-hmm. How many babies have been stolen. That's a lot, too. That's a very heavy, thick graph.
There should be a graph for how many times people have forgiven people for heinous things.
Oh, my God. You couldn't even chart that.
You know what I mean? Like,
you would not have a piece of paper big enough.
They're always like, I'm in love. The man ran over my baby. I think I still love him.
Yes. Or just like confessions. We had a lot of confessions this week,
people.
This was
the week of confessions.
Oh, yeah. I was going to throw up. I can't take no more confessions. I'm sick of it. Move on.
Maybe they're wiping the slate.
Maybe. And that's another thing that a good point that you kind of bring up, Pedro. Not exactly, but sort of. While I was watching the program this week, I could not help but think of little Sabine Singh, who was like working her heart out, crying her heart out. Like people are just going to be watching for when Rebecca comes back. You know what I'm saying? It's like dead man walking. You know what I'm saying?
It is like dead man walking. Maybe not. The stakes aren't quite as high.
All right, people, so I'm going to give you the down low how I feel. I am so happy that Rebecca Budig is coming back. I think she is a wonderful Greenlee. I think her acting is superb. She makes me laugh, cry, throw things at the television, wish I was Greenlee, like all of those feelings. And I'm sorry, I didn't get those with Sabine. Sabine was very whiny to me in the role. She didn't capture the essence of Greenlee to me. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't feel her in the role. But because I'm a good person, mm-hmm, I'm going to give all my best loving thoughts to Sabine Singh, because I don't like someone being hurt like that. I feel bad for her. I do. She's a nice person from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And clearly hardworking and in the face of so much nastiness. People were really, when she came in, she had big hurdles to overcome. And I think she won over quite a few people. She didn't completely win over me, people, but she won over quite a few people. And I feel for the girl. She's an honest, hardworking, vegan, 95-pound person. She is vegan. That's why she's so skinny.
Because she's a vegan?
She's Indian, people. She's an Indian woman. And to me, she's like the most beautiful combination of like a white person and an Indian person. Like, she get them eyes. Like, if you put her in the, like, Indian garb, she would be like an Indian princess. She's like perfect. Like, perfect Indian beautiful face. But like that blonde hair. And she's a beautiful girl. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to Rebecca. I really am. Oh, people. Do you people want recaps? You think they want recaps?
I know I do.
You know you do. That's right. He watched a show with me this week, though, people. But you want recaps?
How could I not?
It's what people listen to us for. You know what I'm saying? Partially.
I think they listen for your recaps, but also your witty analysis.
Taylor Hudson would say snarky analysis, which I don't know what snarky means, but I'll take it. All right, listen. I'm gonna start with Miss Erica. We don't see a lot of her, but she was on the beginning of the week unloading like a boatload of presents for like the kids and stuff like that. I think it was for the kids, right?
She's doing her part.
Yeah, she's trying to help Kendall out because Kendall's all worried about like who's gonna play Santa Claus to Spike and Ian. Kendall's all worried about Zach, so Erica took care of it. And it was a little weird because Dr. Joe shows up and then she and Dr. Joe kind of skirmish and then Josh shows up and he actually defends her. I'm going to start calling him Pooper Scooper Josh because that's all he does anymore. He scoops up poop.
That is I'm impressed.
It's true. He just takes care of people. He shows up and he says, you did good. You did bad. It's like this. It's like, ooh, you did a poopy. Good, good, good. Ooh, poopy. Yeah, you did poopy. Or if, like, they don't do poopy in the right place, ooh, bad. Poopy on the rug, bad. Poopy on the rug. It's like that, right? It's yes. So crazy. I love this man so much, and I want something more for him. That's all he got, though. Hey, listen. It was really interesting because Dr. Joe did, though, tell her, give her what for. He was telling her that she's the same old vindictive person she's always been since she broke his son's heart. And that made me think of Safari Jeff and how much I miss Safari Jeff. I really miss Safari Jeff.
I just miss the safari aspect of it. His wardrobe was perfect.
You miss his jackets.
That man had a sense of style like nobody's business.
Well, I thought it was nice that Josh supported her in that fight with Dr. Joe. That was very nice, but it's not enough for me, people. Not enough for me. Kendall was with Aiden this week when, like, he was trying to calm her down or something. And, people, I'm going to be honest with you. My notebook is, like, scribble, scrabble, lazy. I can't even read half of it because I'm going to be honest with you. I was so bored by the storyline. There was a little drool on one of the pages because I fell asleep on my notebook. I'm really telling you the truth.
Well, let's be honest. Aiden, not to beat a dead horse, but that man, he's got acting chops, and he will hold your attention. He'll rivet you.
Riveting.
It's not even that he's not a good actor. I think that you can't actually understand him.
So you're riveted.
You are. You're constantly saying, what did he just say? And you have to rewind.
Well, it was really upsetting because there were a couple of moments where Aiden spoke this week where the camera was on the back of his head. And you can't do that.
And they were like the big moments going out to commercial break. You know what I mean? It was like, it would cut to Aiden and he'd be like, and he'd be like, what?
What happened? And you didn't know. Like, there were a couple moments, people, where I couldn't translate.
Actually, do you think it's possible that you could have potentially missed an episode where they had given out a decoder ring or some type of thing?
Is that possible? There is a closed caption for the Aiden speak.
There's closed
captioning.
Right.
I didn't have it this week. It wasn't working this week.
It's, what is it?
You know why?
It's because CCA, closed captioning for the Aiden and Perry.
Right. And what happened was, it was so bad this week that even it broke the closed captioning.
Yeah, though the people doing the closed captioning couldn't even get it.
Yeah, they couldn't get it. They gave up. It was like, blah, 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 blah. That was like the typing.
Right, and now if I had my Aiden speak on right there, I would know you had said, I got to find Greenlee. She's in the woods. That's right.
Yeah, so it wasn't working this week. So there were a couple of moments I missed, but it's like that little kid. There was this little kid, Jason, on again this week. He's the kid with the cochlear implants. Yes. Because Spike had his surgery this week, people. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But basically, Aiden reminded Kendall that Spike was having his surgery. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's right. which is kind of funny. And then it was kind of nice. Ryan kind of prepares Spike for the surgery. He kind of talks to him and soothes him and stuff like that. And all the while, this kid is talking up a storm. Which I love. He's so adorable. But listen, that problem's going to be solved very soon because little Spike is going to be able to
hear.
He's
not going to have his implants. How about that bandage on his head?
Oh, people, that was so sad. Well, listen, it was funny because in the first shot, okay, so basically what happens is they go to the hospital. Everybody goes to the hospital, right? And Dr. Joe comes out and he gives this long speech about what's going to happen with the cochlear implant surgery. Now, I was kind of thinking to myself, you think he would have given this lecture maybe a couple weeks prior to the surgery?
There might have been a consultation.
Maybe
covered some of this.
Yeah, you would think. But maybe it was a recap. Just maybe. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt that it was a recap. So they go in, and Kenzel breaks down, and of course Josh, the pooper scooper, comes, and he comes to comfort Kenzel with a Red Wings jersey, because Zach loves the Red Wings, the hockey team. So that was nice. So all the family's there, and boring Eva Perón, bun-wearing-looking, boring Blandy. She looked like Eva Perón, who I love Eva Perón. I think she was a very classy, beautiful woman, but she looked, I don't know. She's like 25, people. They're making her look like she's 85. Just when she gets all beautiful with that sexy brown hair, she goes and puts it up in a bun and wears a little bolero jacket. That made no sense to me. Ancient. How to age yourself 52 years.
Hold on, but what was the point where the young kid with the cochlear implants came in and
okay.
sparked the candle?
So this is what happened. It was beautiful. So he goes into the surgery and Jack shows up. And Jack's like, I consider Kendall my daughter too. His voice kind of vibrates because his head shakes so much. Which, he said it a little bit nasty for me, but that's all right. So everybody's there. Johnny and Ava show up too. Minnie Hands Julie comes out like 1 minute after the surgery and says, everything's going great. Everything's going great. Which, you know, whatever. Suspend your disbelief. That's all right. So what Pedro is referring to is that beautiful little Cassie DePaiva's son, Jason. He comes in without his mommy, people. I was like, where's his mother?
That's the funniest thing is that he comes in, you say, go ahead. What happened?
Well, he comes in with this beautiful gift. It's like a book, an audio book or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Spike, for when he can hear. This kid is so beautiful. He looks so much like Cassie DePaiva, who plays Blair on One Life to Live. So much like her, because that's her son. And he comes in, and he's just like such a sweetheart, right? And you could see his little cochlear implants. Like, you could see the little hearing aid thing behind his ear. And his mama ain't there, like Pedro said. And I'm laughing because he does make reference to his mom being in the car. But I was like, dang, all my children can't pay her $400 to appear on a show?
Well, what I think is interesting is here's like a little kid. And he's like, yeah, oh, my mom's in the car. I got to go. And he leaves. And it's like this little kid's walking through a hospital. It's walking out through the street to the car.
So
like,
funny.
Like,
but it was a touching, beautiful moment. I loved it. And Kendall got a little weepy. And then Dr. Joe comes out and he says, the operation was a success. And everyone's all excited. And then, okay, then what happens is I think that's the point where Ryan tells Kendall that he let Greenlee escape. Which is good because Greenlee is helping Zach. So I don't know what the big deal is. And then Kendall don't know how she feels about that. And then Ryan nails into her about not confessing about Greenlee on the witness stand. And it's just so silly. And my pen is sliding against the notebook again. I can't read nothing after that. And then Kendall runs out, right? She's just like, she needs time to think. I need time to think. So she runs out and Hannah sees her. And Hannah gives her what for. Now, I love this. This is classic All My Children, all right? This is classic Kane versus the world. Hannah, who is still in love with Zach, basically tells her, what are you doing in this hospital? You should be out trying to find Zach. What is wrong with you? And Kendall don't want to hear none of that because she calls her a bitch for trying to seduce her husband, basically. That's what she says. And Hannah was like, if Zach was my husband, he'd be home and he'd be safe. Oh,
that was harsh.
That was nasty. I loved it. I loved it. Snaggletooth Hannah. Lane in order.
Catfight Central.
I love it. People, don't misunderstand me. I actually really love Hannah, but something about her is a little bit snaggletooth. I've said it before. I'll say it again. There's something about her that's a wee bit snaggletoothed. All right, so let's go back, all right, to Spike's bandages. Pedro has been dying to tell you about Spike's bandages.
Well, just the bandages, it's like a rotating bandage.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because you see him in the hospital with Kenzel, and he's got the big pads by his ears.
By his ears.
And you want to cry.
And then you see him at home.
Going home.
Going home, and he's got a big bandage at the top of his head.
And the back.
In the back.
It's like someone forgot to rotate it.
Just get that thing lined up. Get it lined up.
This is where we need our medical supervisor, Kat, to tell us the accuracy of that bandage placement, because I wasn't believing it.
They should have just wrapped his whole head and be done with it.
I remember Pedro told me when he was little that his parents put foam, just like those bandages, foam on every single piece of furniture in the house, like every corner, every edge.
Safety first.
That must have looked so funny.
It's very safe.
It was like bumper furniture.
Yes.
It all has bumpers.
Yes.
Every single corner was like white padding.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's funny. Anyway, then we have a little scene. People, again, Snoozeville. I believe that Kendall was saying that she can't fulfill her promise that she made before Spike's surgery, that she would confess about Greenlee if Spike came through the surgery. She's saying now that she can't do it, and she's telling Aiden she can't do it. And Aiden's basically saying, I think, people, that that's okay?
I don't know. All I know is that at one point, Kendall talked about her two boys and not having time to spend with both of them. And I was trying to think, when was the last time she even...
Saw
does
Ian?
She even know the name Ian?
Yeah.
If you said, Kendall, Ian's over there, she'd be like, huh?
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
Hmm?
What?
Where? Kendall, Ian is in the corner.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about.
Kendall, Spike is in the opposite corner.
Oh my God, Spike! Where's Spike?
Hold on. Ian is alone in the corner playing with a handgun.
I'm so sorry. You're speaking gibberish. What are you talking
about? I'm sorry.
About?
Spike is in the far corner in a very safe padded
cell. Spike! Where is he? My Spike!
I think that's accurate.
That's pretty much the story, yeah. We had some interesting things toward the end of the week. Kendall and Ryan talk in Kendall's home by the fireplace. Now, people, with Rebecca Butter coming back, I'm saying put Rebecca with Zach. Put Kendall with Ryan. You people know, anybody that watched the show this week that saw Kendall and Ryan talking with the fireplace going, you were brought back to that moment where Kendall and Ryan made love in front of the fireplace and she was wearing that pink top. And it was like one of the few times that they were like on speaking terms and they made love. And it was the sexiest, hottest thing. I was dying. I was wishing that they had at least talked or referred back to their lovemaking days while they were in that room. I don't care about Blandy. I don't care about Zach. You cannot deny the history that they have and the heat that they have. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was wishing that. But they didn't, of course. And then they talk about forgiving Greenlee. I was like, oh. But then the big news came at the end of the week when Dr. Joe comes. And he reveals that, Kendall, there was a mutation of the GG gene. Spike was going to lose his hearing. It was genetic. It was not caused by trauma. It was atraumatic.
It still is not good to drive a car off a cliff.
Yeah, I don't think that helped.
That didn't help the child.
I don't think so.
Any way you cut the cake, you know.
Yeah.
That didn't help.
So then Kendall's all freaked out because it really wasn't Greenlee that caused it, even though Greenlee admitted to stealing her baby and driving him off a cliff. I don't know how that screams innocence.
I still got to get one of those car seats. That car seat is made out of the same thing that the black box in airplanes is made out of.
That's right. It's very hardy.
It's a hardy material.
Well, here's what I will tell you about Greenlee this week. Poor Miss Little Sabine Singh. She losing it down there. She saw that hand. Zach hugged her. I was like, disgusting. Don't you be hugging her?
First of all, the two of them are so bruised. How could they hug anything?
I know. It doesn't make no sense.
If you each time you look at them, they get more and more black and blue.
And bloody.
And bloody.
And they wear less and less clothes.
And they got these bandages on. And it doesn't make any sense.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing we were talking about. There's a couple things here, all right? Number one, it is December. You gotta assume that this is present day, right? That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's December. I'm cold in my apartment when it's 65 degrees,
mm-hmm.
all right? They are underground with no heat. And this week, Greenlee takes a little bath with some water she found. And she's in a little tank top. She should be blue like an icicle. She should not be able to stand. He should be freezing. What is going on with these people? Why are they so cozy? Aiden and the new guy, Quentin, are upstairs in parkas. And they in tank tops.
I, can't even, I don't even want to talk about Aiden and the new guy.
What I am saying, though, before you talk about that, what I am saying is this would be an interesting storyline. It is so cold down there. What do you do when it's really cold and you with another person and you could freeze to death? What do you do?
I know what the Eskimos do.
What?
They take off their clothes.
That's right. And what do they do?
They cuddle up.
That's right. But and whatever they can find.
You need some animals.
Well,
skins.
Whatever clothes they got, all right? You can't tell me in a bomb shelter there ain't blankets and stuff like
they
that, right?
They could skin that snake. That could be like, you know, that's an animal skin.
That is not an appropriate animal skin, all right? You're talking about fur.
That's true.
I'm saying take all your clothes off, get under the blankets, and do that. That's what I'm saying. It makes no sense. Maybe that's where they're leading, okay? I've heard some rumors, people. I'm not going to share it. You people all know anyway, so I'm not gonna say it. I'm not going to add insult to injury. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that would be a truthful, interesting storyline. Have them take off every single piece of clothing they wear and try to bundle up. The other thing that I got a big problem with, they be eating that canned food. They be drinking that liquor. You don't think they got to poop and pee? Where is it going?
Not even a mention. Well, I don't think you're going to mention that on all my
Why
children.
Why not? It's realistic.
It's realistic if Zach says to Greenlee, you know what? I'll be right back. I got to take a dump.
Listen. If he says something like, you know, I need privacy. Can I have a moment? And maybe he's like digging a hole and Greenlee's like, what you doing? And he's like, I got to go.
He's digging a hole. Greenlee's like, oh, are you tunneling out of here? And he's like, no.
I'm being serious. Listen, it kind of sounds kind of funny, but I'm being a little bit serious. Like, add some reality. Like, have Greenlee fart and Zach be like, oh, you were first, you won't shut up. Now you're sticking up the joint. Something like that.
Silent but deadly.
That's what I'm saying. Something like realistic. Give me realistic. I'm going to tell you who's realistic. You might disagree. Quentin.
Oh, I like Quentin.
I love Quentin. People, we got a new character, and he is a Darnell Williams lookalike, which we haven't spoken really much about Angie and Jesse because that was all overshadowed by the Greenlee news. But they are coming back, people. That's a big spoiler, but it's out there. Everybody knows it, so we're talking about it. They're coming back, and I cannot wait. And I really thought that Quentin, for a second, was Darnell Williams because they look very similar. They have a very similar mouth. Darnell Williams had this beautiful, perfect, like little Cupid-shaped upper lip, and that's what Quentin has.
I think that's what they do, the casting. They look for Cupid lips.
His lips are beautiful. I cannot wait. I'm telling you, I cannot wait. I loved Quentin. Quentin was like, Aiden is looking and looking and looking, and he sees, like, this sleeping bag.
Yes.
So then he... Does he get a gun at that point?
Someone has a gun.
Oh, Quentin had a gun. Someone had a gun. And then he wrestles him. And, of course, Aiden wrestles him handily, you know. And we find out that he's some Canadian medic that used to be something or other. I don't know.
I thought he was a Mountie. Canadian
something
Mountie.
Like that.
That's not true.
We don't even care. I don't even care. He has some kind of medic bag.
He sees his medic bag. The whole thing is a little much.
I'm with you. But basically, the guy's homeless, you know, and Aiden sees that he has skills, so Aiden recruits him. He tells him that he could live in his place. But I was laughing because the second he sees the guy and he wrestles him, he says, who are you? And what are you doing with my property?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
He said, who are you and what are you doing on my property? That was an easy one. But then there was a couple ones after that I was like so mad because all my children people gotta know. The camera people gotta know. It's like Jason. Jason needs to see you to hear you. Just because he has the cochlear implants doesn't mean that he doesn't need to see your lips moving. He needs to use all of it, the hearing, whatever little he can hear, and looking at the lips. All my children camera people, you gotta always keep the camera on Aiden's face because you cannot just hear what he's saying. You have to try to read his lips as well.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
They should have an interpreter, you know, or they should dub. What if they dubbed him?
That would be so funny. Do you remember the Tarzan movie where Andy McDowell was dubbed by Glenn Close because Andy McDowell had a southern accent?
I don't remember.
They should do that.
Yeah.
That would be so fun.
I don't know if Andy McDowell's available, though.
It was Glenn Close, people.
Oh, Glenn Close.
How funny would that be if Glenn Close dubbed Aiden? I would love it. So anyway, so Quentin is great. So Quentin is really a good actor. The guy, I don't know his name, but the guy that plays him is a good actor. I'm not really sure what is in store for him with this storyline, but towards the end of the episode, they are a team. They're teaming up, and they find a little hole.
Yes.
They find, like, it almost seems like they're finding the cover to the bomb shelter, but I don't think they are because they start to move it, and it seems like it's further down a little bit.
All
And besides, people, we all know that we got until Christmas until this thing plays out. That's the problem here.
It's only a week.
And all we had, you know, not to breeze over this, but all we had of Greenlee and Zach was basically she confesses again about stealing Spike, and she has a breakdown and she cries, and he kind of deals with that. He tells her to shut up a bunch of times, which I loved it.
Nothing really happened with that hand, did it?
Yeah. Nothing.
No.
Nothing. But something happened with the snake.
Yeah, Greenlee got bit by a snake.
And Zach sucked out the poison.
That's hot.
Sexy. But one thing I have to say, people, that I was noticing, and again, I'm going to notice all these things until Rebecca Buttick comes back. Sabine Singh had to say something about, as Greenlee, something about, she called Ryan her soulmate. I forgot the whole spiel, but she called Ryan again her soulmate. And I don't think Rebecca Buttick would let that fly. You fans know that Leo was her soulmate. Leo Dupre was her soulmate. I heard some people calling for a Leo Dupre recast. I don't think it's possible.
No, I don't think you can do that.
I don't think it's possible. I think it would have the same, he would have a Sabine Singh problem. Mm. And you know real Leo, real Josh Duhamel ain't coming back.
You don't think he's going to stop doing movies and primetime
like
television?
Like The Terminator or primetime TV. It's a tough call. It's a really tough call.
It's a tough call.
One of the top grossing movies of 2007, All My Children. Tough call.
He could work with Aiden.
He certainly could. And that's another thing, people. Are they going to pair Rebecca Buttick with Aiden? I don't think that works. I don't think that works. She's too good for him. I think Aiden Turner really must be losing sleep over this. He has a storyline on that show because of Sabine. She was great with him. Rebecca is not going to tolerate him. I'm telling you. It's going to be Greenlee and Zach. It's going to be Rebecca and Torsten. I'm telling you. That's the only way I can see that working. But then it's like, how do you do that? Because... Oh, I know how you do it. Oh, I can't talk about it. I know how you do it.
Why can't you talk about it?
Because then it would be spoiling. Something's going to happen between amongst these couples. That's going to be life-shattering. Big, Pedro, big. I can see the excitement on your face. You want to know right now, don't you?
I'm going to tighten up my sandals.
Oh, don't do that. Listen, it's snowing. You can't wear them Birkenstocks with them wool socks outside. They're going to get soggy.
That's why I wear wool socks.
Ah, yeah, yeah. He's going to get soggy, people. I should get you waterproof socks. Rubber socks. That'd be so funny. All right, people. They have to eat snake. That was about the only realistic thing I saw. Right? Why are you so tired, Pedro?
Because you woke me up this morning.
All right. Tad and Crystal. Some good developments this week, people. Tad is going to be suing for custody of little Jenny. And he and Crystal have a scene at the beginning of the week that I didn't really buy. I love these two together. I didn't really buy their argument. It seemed a little bit like they were pushing it, you know, for the purpose of the storyline. It seemed like maybe even they as actors didn't believe what was happening. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But Michael Knight is a true pro and a true wonder, and he did sell those scenes. But I don't know. He had the papers drawn weeks ago. That was weird.
Like what it wasn't papers drawn?
The custody suit papers. Mm-hmm. They were drawn weeks ago. And I guess he said that it was because he was worried about her getting together with Adam, you know, weeks ago, which makes sense. But so they fight, and then Crystal's all like, you know, worried about it. And then Babe comes in, and Crystal says, "Oh my God, Babe, you should have seen Tad. He blew a gasket." And then Babe says, "Well, Mama, could you blame him? Could you blame him, Mama?" With her perfect diction, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this new Babe is like, I find her, I don't mean to harsh on anybody, but she's by far the most annoying person.
She just ain't soft around the edges. She's so perfectly cut. She's like perfectly cast, like right. Die cut. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Perfectly, plastically surgeoned, modified.
Yeah, it don't work for me.
Yuck.
It's really yuck. And then she's stupid. Like, at first I wasn't agreeing with Jordan Hudson about it. I was like, she ain't stupid. She's smart. But then he's right. Like, this week she got into a fight with Blandy over Richie. And it was like the stupidest thing. She kept defending Richie over nothing. It was really, I didn't get it.
She spent 10 minutes with him, and she all of a sudden knows the whole, you know, knows he's he's right. He's a good person.
She looked into his soul, Pedro.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's
she looked into his eyes, and she could see his soul.
If this were Heroes, that would be her talent.
Right.
That would be her special.
Except she'd be wrong.
She's like a dyslexic look into the soul.
That's right.
She gets the opposite.
Exactly, exactly. So back to Tad and Crystal, or Crystal and Babe. You know, Babe is basically going on and about how it's understandable that Tad is feeling this way. And she kind of defends Tad and she kind of gives Crystal, you know, something to think about. And then Crystal decides that she's going to have to try to run. But get this, Tad catches her. And get this, she tells him that she's running from Adam, not from Tad, which I didn't completely buy. And neither did Tad. Tad ain't buying that. So he tries to stop her from leaving and she doesn't go. And she ends up giving him Jenny to take to bed. And it's really weird. And it's funny because before that, Babe did this whole thing where Crystal thinks that Jenny is just hers. And I kind of see that, too. I kind of see her proprietary ship over her daughter. But I'm going to tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am a person who believes strongly in the rights of the mother.
Okay.
She bore that baby on the floor of a mansion. That little Kobe put her hand up Crystal's vajayjay and delivered that baby. They both went through extreme trauma and duress to birth that baby.
That is true.
She carried that baby in her belly for 9 months.
But she wants to give that baby back to a man that tried to sell that baby on the black market.
All right, listen, you're a man, right? Mm-hmm. So you got the man's point of view. I got the woman's point of view.
I hear you.
I'm saying that Crystal will protect Jenny.
Protect her in a way that you would give the baby to someone that would sell it on the black market?
Listen, she ain't giving a baby to Adam. She's just trying to be with Adam. All right, people, look.
I mean, come on. That's ridiculous.
I'm fighting an argument that can't be won.
I mean, think about that.
All right, fine.
Put your common sense hat on for one moment.
All right, fine. I'm going to give it to you.
Think about that.
But I'm just saying that Tad doesn't have more right than Crystal. Be like, that's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, I love you. Hold on. What are you doing with my baby? Oh, that's on eBay? You just put my baby on eBay?
eBay Express, no less.
Oh, hold on. This doesn't seem right, but I love you. I'm going to stay. Ooh, that's a good bid.
I don't know how I feel about it.
You got to close out the auction and get that baby. You got to take that baby.
I'm mixed. I understand where Tad's coming from, but I just don't think that he has the right to take the baby away from Crystal.
I could not agree more with Tad.
Wow. That's a pretty intense endorsement from Pedro.
It is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
All right.
It doesn't make any sense.
All right.
If someone tried to sell my baby,
all right,
and then the person said, I'm still in love with them and I want to move back with them and have my child around that person. What? Come on.
Let's talk about Adam a little bit and JR.
Okay.
Adam bails JR out of jail, but JR refuses his help at first. And then Tad has to come in and tell him about, you know, that warn him about his dad and blah, blah, blah. And JR decides to take the bail and go move in with Adam. So in the meantime, Tad has told him about the whole Crystal, you know, custody thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he reveals that can of worms to Adam. Now, let's rewind a little bit. We have seen Adam this week working with our little Miss Amanda. Our little Miss Amanda's got the goods on JR.
She does. She's just got the goods, period.
Well, I thought it was funny because she pulls out this at work. She pulls out that video. And then she goes home and she's wearing this like gray outfit with like this gray eyeshadow. It's like the gray eyeshadow covers the whole eye. It looked like Saturday Night Fever. You know that movie where they wore like the one color eyeshadow, took the whole eye?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a fan. I love our little Miss Amanda, but I wasn't a fan of the eyeshadow. So she has this whole plan, right, where she's made this DVD of JR confessing, but it also conveniently happens to have a date stamp as well as a radio announcer, a DJ announcing a concert, okay, which proves that JR was where he's with her the night of the 15th, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very valuable. So she sits there at home and she's watching the tape and she's like, it's almost like a porno tape, right?
Yes.
It's really weird.
It was like amateur porn.
It was.
It was a little icky. A little much.
But she's so proud of it. She's like mouthing the words as she's like watching it, like proud of her work. And she like orders a car. She orders like the most expensive car. She orders a new swanky new pad for her mama.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's spending all this money before she's even got it.
Mm-hmm.
And at first she asks Adam for $1 million, and then she comes back and she asks him for $5 million and the yacht, and he gives it to her.
And then he says, I would have given her a lot more.
Yeah, that was funny.
How do we know that wasn't Stuart?
Silly. he didn't have an Argyle sweater with one collar sticking out.
Good point.
That's what it was. So then when JR comes home, Adam tells him to put the DVD away, and he doesn't even want to look at it. Like, he's not curious about the DVD, putting it in the safe.
But why? I don't understand why it's one of these things. It's again with the DVD. Like, you're supposed to see the DVD and know that this is a problem. You know what I mean? It's not like you're handing someone a bloody knife and you're saying, put this in the safe. You'd be like, what's going on with the bloody knife? You know, it's just like, it's supposed to be like this. Like, it's a DVD. That's a DVD in your hand.
Well, listen, this time I buy it, though, because he's asking him to put it in the safe deposit box or whatever, or the safe or whatever it is.
Yeah, I guess.
That's how I bought it. So, well, we end the week with Adam running over to Tad and Crystal's house, giving Tad what for about the whole custody thing. What I enjoyed very much this week, besides delicious Quentin, was Richie and Janet.
Yes.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
I loved it. Richie was in the Richie's in an institution now because he tried to kill himself and all that. And he's in there with Janet. And he gets in her face. He don't know who Janet is. He gets in her face and he says, take your gelatin treat and get out of my face.
I love a good gelatin treat line.
And she says, oh, believe me, honey. When somebody ticks me off, bad things happen to them.
It's so ridiculous.
It's true, though. You don't know who he's messing with.
It is true. She might blow up. She might blow him up. Blow up his wheelchair.
So he gets all wise. He apologizes because he knows he's out of his league. And then she says that she will forgive him if he tells her about himself. So then Richie goes and he tells her a little bit about his story. And she feels for him. And she decides she's going to help him escape. And you know what? I believe she's going to do it. I sure do. The only other thing I had this week, people, was Lily. Lily is still catatonic, and nobody's understanding why. We also had Ava and Johnny for a blip. And Ava got a little bit jealous of Johnny's, like, how he was able to, you know, talk to Lily and connect with Lily and how concerned he was. She got a little jealous of that. And Johnny got out of her that the Richie and the murder thing, but I don't think he connected the dots, people. I don't remember. I was falling asleep a little at that point, too.
Hmm.
My eyes were crusty at that point.
You had crusty eyes?
I had crusty eyes.
Mm.
So I don't know. People. Big things coming up.
We'll find out.
Jordan Hudson will give us the scoop on all things Jesse and Angie. All things Rebecca Buttig versus Sabine Singh. You know, people, I'm sorry. I'm happy about Rebecca. I ain't gonna be harsh on her because of what ABC did. They were nasty. They were nasty to Sabine Singh. I agree. But I'm happy that Rebecca's back.
No, it's good. It's good for all my
children.
It's
good. And I hope something good happens for Sabine. She seems like a really wonderful person. And maybe there's a place for her on the show. Not more than Brooke, though. Not more than Dixie. That's my only problem with that. You know, I'll take Brooke. I'll take Dixie. I'll take Dr. Hayward. I'll take all those people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Greenlee Smythe's mom. Oh, my God. If Rebecca comes back, Greenlee Smythe's mom, Mary Smythe, will come back.
Oh.
I love her. Got anything else to say?
Nope.
Nothing else to say, Pedro. He's a man of very few words. When he does say something, it's ultimately quite profound. Thank you for being with me today, Pedro. I always enjoy your smiling face. He's a very positive person, people. It's very nice, very refreshing.
Listen, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I thought that there was an emergency, and clearly it was not an emergency.
It was an emergency. Rebecca Buttig's coming back.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Very, very big news. All right, people. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to write us, you can email us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com or you can go to our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast or you can find everything you want at our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm Peter.
Pedro, and here's a little something just for you.
Women of Fusion announced their arrival with energy and style. That noise you heard last night was Fusion taking off and breaking the beauty barrier. To the brains and beauty behind Fusion, I can only add bravissima. We did it. We did it. We pulled it off. eyes, of course, as I stand here with my eyes closed while I sense you're doing something with a sharp object. This is the ultimate display of trust.
I wouldn't have it any other way from the green butterfly. Now, open your eyes.
Oh my God. It's so amazing, Ryan. It's so beautiful. Thank you. Book a flight to Pine Valley. One way. I'm going home.